agenda item at 5:05. It's an update on the development of Amendment 3 to the skate complex. Andy, do you need a couple minutes, or are you ready to rock and roll? You guys want to take a three-minute, four-minute break? Brief presentation from Andy Applegate. He's going to run through the work thus far that's been done to help us with Amendment 3. Andy, whenever you're ready.
Okay, I know the hour is late. Your patience is short, so I'm going to be brief. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. I'm just going to talk about what we've done so far, where we're at, some of the problems, and where we're possibly going. First, we held scoping hearings in May of 07. I've been assigned to Amendment 3 last year. We've approved a framework of alternatives and measures last year in June. And had we proceeded according to plan, we would have approved the draft amendment and DSEIS in November and taken out the public hearing right about now. And we'd be approving the final alternatives for submission in February and March at this meeting, actually. The alternatives consist of six of them plus the status quo. They overlay existing regulations. There are three pairs with annual catch limits controlled by hard TACs and three pairs of alternatives with ACLs and in-season triggers. In other words, a target TAC with triggers to prevent the catch from exceeding it. All of them have gear-restricted areas or skate-closed areas as a component. The measures in the alternatives are a winter skate possession limit, reducing the wing fishery possession limit and or establishing a bait fishery possession limit, raise the minimum mesh when targeting skates, a seasonal spawning maximum size limit for winter and little skate, gear-restricted areas, TACs, monitoring framework adjustment program to replace the baseline assessment process, and a sector allocation program. Things that are checked off, the PDT has completed the analysis establishing the skate possession limit and so on. We're working on raising the minimum mesh size, and we're currently involved in trying to establish what the TACs or ACLs are and our mortality targets so we can put these alternatives together. Possession limits, we developed a fairly complex model, evaluate the effectiveness of various fishery possession limits over an entire range. The results depend upon how much discards and discard mortality is in each fishery. And we've estimated the catch reductions at various possession limits through a pretty complicated economic analysis. We are looking at minimum mesh. It's using the sea sampling data, estimating the length at which is 50% selected by a variety of gears and mesh sizes. So far, there's little or no evidence of size selectivity by the larger mesh in either trawl or gill net data. This works pending PDT review. Seasonal spawning limits, the PDT identified some serious implementation concerns and enforcement concerns. It's based on limited data from the Gulf of Maine. Some of these issues have been addressed primarily by Jim Solikowski, who was a proponent of this, and the PDT's qualitative evaluation has been finished. In terms of gear-restricted areas, the PDT identified five of them with potential to help rebuild winter and thorny skate. They have been evaluated using a two-bin model that was modified from the one that was used for groundfish a number of years ago. That work's been finished and reviewed by a PDT. We were unable to use the groundfish closed area model, although it would be better suited. It's currently unavailable for use. There's nobody to work on it. There are the five areas, three of them around the Nantucket Lightship area, and two of them north and northeast of the western Gulf of Maine area for Thorny Skate, labeled 4 and 5. Some details about the two-bin model. They account for existing closed areas. They account for current regulations. It assumes that the catch changes based upon the differences in CPUE inside and outside the area. The PDT determined that it tends to underestimate the mortality and economic effects of a closure. This is where we're at right now, evaluating rebuilding potential and estimating catch limits. The PDT developed a demographic model. It's developed by Todd Kudamke. He's currently at the Southeast Fisheries Center. Applied the model results to the catch time series to determine catch limits during rebuilding and establish mortality targets so we can determine what levels of these various measures are needed to meet the objectives of the plan, that is to rebuild Thorny and Winter Skate. This was reviewed by the SSC in November 2007. The SSC consensus is in document one. They found that the model was fundamentally sound. However, factors affecting the skate complex and response to fishing pressure are unknown. The magnitude and trend in fishing mortality are unknown. The SSC thought it was using the information available, it was impossible to estimate the catch that would achieve the rebuilding objectives with the present information. The catch could either be higher or lower than the present levels. Furthermore, they said the stock is unlikely to significantly rebuild from further catch reductions if fishing mortality is already below the reference points. Of course, if it's not, then like other species, it has a potential to rebuild through fishing mortality reduction. And they also noted significant rebuilding is unlikely to occur without reducing discards because they make up a very significant component of the catch. The SSC recommendations were that there are several methods to do an analytical assessment and estimate MSY using existing data, and that should be pursued. They thought an adaptive outcome-based analysis should be explored, but most importantly, it should be explored if there is a link between catch reductions and biomass increases. Then you can use an adaptive program. Otherwise, you simply get noise from the system. I've looked at some of this information, and basically you get a scatter plot. You get almost a perfect correlation of zero. Normally, you would see a negative slope between changes in biomass and catch, and you don't see that with the data that we have. We've explored, council staff has explored what we could be done with the Fisheries Science Center. The resources are currently unavailable to prepare an analytical assessment to address the deficiencies identified by the SAW. There are conflicts with the GARM and the trawl vessel survey calibrations going on through the summer. But we can't wait for the December 08 data poor assessment workshop. Was the executive committee's decision, and it remanded the issue back to the PDT for more work and catch target recommendations to be reviewed by the SSC in April. Recent developments, the 07 landings increased by about 2,000 metric tons, about 10%, most of it being in the Gillnet multi-species bait sea program. Landings have not increased in the bait fishery or the trawled and wing fishery. The total catch is below average for the time series due to decreasing discards. In fact, the 2006 catch is in the 12th percentile, and the 2007 catch, if you assume that discards remain constant from 06 to 07, is in the 33rd percentile. And as I said, I've looked at the relationship between catch and winter skate biomass, and there's nothing there. Work to be done, update the environmental impact statement. It's very data intensive, considerable more work is needed, especially in the economic analysis and characterizing the fishery. One of the PDT members is working on the characterization of the fishery, or at least pulling the data together. There are complicated effects due to interactions with other fisheries and layered regulations. And the impact analysis has to have an integrated biological analysis, in other words, for each alternative, not single measures that we have now. Economic and social analysis, and we certainly need rebuilding catch limits and mortality reduction targets. A new timeline needs to accommodate the time needed to develop catch limits and mortality reduction targets and prepare a document. I've had a lot of difficulty convening PDT meetings due to conflicts with other work, not just convening meetings and but also having people to actually do work and contribute to the analysis conducted during the meeting. So with the thoughts that we're going to have a PDT meeting and have the SSC review it in the results in April, the revised timeline would be to have the SSC approve the catch limits and mortality targets by April, develop the draft amendment and DEIS by June, have public hearings in June, July, or August of 07, approve the final alternative at our September meeting, and submit the final document in October. So I went through a lot pretty quickly. I'll be willing to answer any questions. Thank you.
Dave Gaethel, then Dr. Pierce.
I have four questions, Andy. First, what is the rebuilding time period for each of the two species?
It's 10 years for winter skate, and which would be through 2017, and 22 years for thorny skate, which began at when the skate FMP was in place in 2002. It's
okay.
25 years, I'm sorry.
Second of all, you mentioned gear-restricted areas. What kind of gear were you planning on restricting in those areas?
Well, there are two approaches to it. One is to use those areas as closures for the directed fishery at various triggers, for example, reaching the TAC. The other would be to, as a means to reduce incidental catch and discard mortality. And most of the skates are caught by trawls, gill nets, and dredges, scallop dredges.
Okay, and my last question was, I noticed a lot of these GRAs abut closed areas. Have either of any of these models got any way of measuring the effects of the closed areas and the fact that, you know, obviously some of these species live in those closed areas?
We're working from a baseline when the areas were closed, and so we're looking for ways of producing additional mortality reduction. So we can't really count the closure as it exists to gain more mortality reduction. And furthermore, the most of those areas have been closed since 1994, so the data is kind of sketchy before then to do this kind of analysis.
Right, but we also don't know exactly what's in the closed areas, and we don't know what the migratory patterns are, so we don't know if they're coming out of the closed areas to get caught in the open areas. Is that correct?
They probably are coming out of the closed areas to be caught in open areas, and so that might be why some of the areas have been identified abut the closed areas.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I've got two questions. First of all, I appreciate the efforts of the S&S committee. Skates are tough, difficult to assess, difficult to tell apart. My first question is that on the status sheet where the meeting is described, this is section A, 1A, the very last sentence says, the SSC advised that there was sufficient biological and catch data to prepare an analytical assessment with MSY-based reference points. That's a profound statement. and I went over the one pager describing the specifics of the S&S committee meeting, recognizing this is a summary. It's not detailed. I can't find the basis for that very important conclusion that there was sufficient biological and catch data to prepare an analytical assessment with MSY-based reference points. I really need a clarification regarding how in the world they were able to conclude that, in recognition of all we discussed about skates so far, not being able to tell the difference between many species of skates. The landings database is very uncertain, a lot of unclassified. So could you help me out with that?
Well, we certainly tried to bring out some of the difficulties with the prior assessment that went to SOL 44 and was an analytical assessment with the MSY-based reference points, which was rejected by the SOL for a couple of reasons, including catch identification and evaluating the performance of the model with a known population. And those two things have not yet been addressed. Despite that, the SSC thought that we had enough information to be able to move forward with an analytical assessment.
Okay, that still doesn't help me out because I don't believe it. But anyways, that's the SSC. It's an important issue. This is the SSC providing us with specific advice, and this is sort of a prelude of what is to come. And the good work of the SSC, and I know it's good work, it needs to be better detailed and clarified so we understand the basis for these very important conclusions. I stand to be convinced. And then the second question is, on page one of the S&S committee meeting, where we, under question one, it says that the committee, the S&S committee, proposes a method to estimate the trend and magnitude of fishing mortality and biological reference points, FMSY and BMSY, using stock recruitment and surplus production methods. Okay. I look forward to the details of that method. It's not described here in any way. And frankly, I'm having trouble understanding how they can propose a method when on page two, it says, first bullet at the top of the page, where it talks about the alternative method. It can only be done by species if the catch composition can be separated by species, and this is not possible at the present time. So you see where my trouble is? I'm not going to make a big deal out of this now, although maybe I am. I need help. I need to better understand why these particular very critical conclusions have been drawn by the SSC when they are unable to, not their fault. No one can do this to the satisfaction of the scientists themselves and certainly this council. Can't break apart catch composition by species. So you don't need to provide a lot of explanation. This is just at the end of a long day, highlighting my concern that I'm left very unsatisfied regarding the S&S committee conclusions, and maybe after I study this further and talk to some people, I'll be more at ease. But as it stands right now, I'm very uncomfortable with what has been provided here.
Terry Stockwell, then Jim Odlin.
Yeah, thanks for the concise report, Andy. You've done a lot of work since the committee last met. Could you go back to your slide with the landings information?
This is the one you were talking about?
And the bullet I'm keying in on is the second one. The increase in the gillnets and the B-days. Have you had a chance to tease that apart in the area where they're fishing?
I teased it apart in terms of various days at sea programs and changes in skate catch with vessels on the various programs, and this one really stuck out. A lot of the activity was going on around the South Channel off of the Cape. And some of it's going on around some of these areas that the PDT identified, west of Nantucket Lightship area. So at least that's what the data say. I'm not on the dock every day either. So,
Now, I guess the reason I ask is there's a reference earlier made to the amended harbor porpoise take reduction plan, and there was a surge in harbor porpoise takes in an area where there was allegedly a high skate landing. So I was just curious. It was the same area. It sounds like the same place. So thank you. We're fixing that.
Yeah, Terry keyed in on exactly what I was looking at, and I'm wondering if maybe skates as a eligible B-day species ought to be looked at sooner than rather than later. And if that's the case, is that the multi-species committee that should do that, or the skate committee? I think it would be the multi-species committee. That's the question.
Well, Framework 42 is supposed to reduce skate catch, directed skate catch. But in fact, it seemed in some fisheries to have the opposite effect, both because of the ability to use multi-species days for other species, and also there's been a bit of a price increase for skates. So it attracted some of this effort. Some of the other days at sea fisheries it actually declined. Who actually deals with that is a tough one. It's partly an effect of a multi-species action, but in part it's starts falling under the skate FMP. So I'm not sure I answered you.
It would seem to me that the multi-species allows B-day targeting, and I would think that we need to get this to the multi-species committee and deal with it somehow. And I think we can adjust species that are allowable under a B-day program fairly rapidly. I think we make a request to the service. I mean, the rules are so old, but I know there's something there. There's some mechanism. And maybe Pat can tell us what that mechanism is.
Toby just raised the same thing, and we're not sure. It seems to me that there is as well, but I just can't remember, and so we need to look at it.
I think we need to also keep in mind, though, is that discards have come down quite a bit, according to the latest discard estimates. This graph is kind of complicated, the y-axis is change in biomass. The size of circles represents total biomass, and the x-axis is catch. The red dot is 2006. It's among the lowest catch on the time series. So mostly any increase in landings have been more than offset by decreases in discard mortality. This one's assuming a 35% discard mortality rate.
Anyone else on the council? Andy, on this, just do you have a graphic up? So the catch is, as people have correctly stated, there's difficulty in determining what species are being landed, right?
That's true for some components of fishery. It's very difficult even for professional biologists to distinguish winter and little skates, juvenile skates, morphometrically. In other words, by observation, external observation.
Right, so that's true.
But you can still tell a difference between barn door, clear
nose,
if they come in
wings, you can't. It gets more complicated, right?
Gets more complicated as wings.
Okay.
Just wings, right.
And the change in biomass is based, part of that's based on the assessment, right?
Change in biomass is all the survey.
It's all survey?
Yeah.
Where they have scientists on board that do species identification.
Right.
Probably more reliably than the catch or the landings information, which is a component of catch that we have, right?
Now, the catch in this plot is skate catch, and I've done it by wings. I've done it by hole. I've done it every way I could. And
right. I guess my point is that at least, you know, we have letters from the service saying that we have two of the species in a complex that are in trouble and that we've got to rebuild. So even though this graphic may be true based on the information, it kind of masks that the overall abundance may be okay and the overall catch may be in a lower third quartile, but two of those species make up a larger component of the catch.
Well, this one's winter skate, which is one of the main components. And
where does it say winter skate?
It doesn't, but it is.
Okay. But the same would hold true, though, right? I mean, the total catch of skate.
Well, it's only we have to rebuild because in 2002 the council adopted an FMP with some defined thresholds and targets for biomass that are weakly related to MSY. And whether that's what we're looking at is survey variation, changes in the environment and productivity of species or fishing, I think we know.
Anyone else in the council? Anyone in the audience? Ron?
Ron Smolowitz. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Andy what the survey relative indexes indicate as far as the trends and what the scientists believe regarding the reliability of those indices.
Well, for something like winter skate, the survey is pretty good at indexing the stock. There is a pretty good amount of variability, though, from year to year. With a three-year moving average, which the status determination is based, it should be pretty good. But one thing that happened with winter skate wasn't that the stock index went down from 2005 to 2006. It was a 2003 value that was high that dropped out of the index, out of the three-year moving average. And so, therefore, that average fell below the threshold.
The larger skates, the winter skate and certainly the Bon d'Or skate, I mean, the Bon d'Or skate should really show us that there's some major things we don't understand about their movement. And because skates are going to be very important for all the fisheries as far as impact, we certainly need to put a lot of resources into figuring out what's going on. I think it's a very key species, so I'm quite concerned about what's happening. Thank you.
Anything further from the audience? Back to the council. Any more questions for Andy? Dave?
I got one last question, Andy, and I don't really know how to phrase it. It concerns thorny skates. Now, they're the longer lived of the two, and they only reproduce, I think, after year 18 or something. They're pretty bizarre, as I remember. And you know, then they live to be 22 to 25 years old. I gotta get to the common sense part of this. What I see versus what this is telling me. And I see thorny skates as being remarkably consistent over my 30-odd year career. There seems to be as many of them now as it was 30 years ago and all the time in between. And they're all, you know, size-wise, they're still the great big ones with the big flappy wings. You know, so they're older skates, 15 years plus, in my area. Now, I'm looking at what the SSC said. I'm trying to build on what David said a little bit, that they're trying to come up with ways to replace the current reference points. In other words, I read this as they're suggesting that those reference points may not be correct. Is that accurate?
They're saying that there might be some better reference points that are more consistent with MSY.
Okay, and then they're also saying that there are perhaps alternative ways of arriving at those reference points at the bottom of page 1 and the top of page 2 if we understood the species composition better. Is that also fairly accurate?
Especially if we understood the species composition better. One of the SSC members felt that we could do something with what we had.
Because, I think the species composition in the catch is primarily winter skates. I see a few thorny skates still being landed by people who say a skate is a skate. We could perhaps solve that with some stepped-up enforcement. I could tell them apart as wings. I think we could teach enforcement to them, and I think fishermen would learn very quickly then that a skate is not a skate.
But what we're dealing with is not just landings, but also discards.
I understand that, but that it also says somewhere else, I think you said that the assumed discard mortality is 35%. So the assumed mortality on wings is 100%. They don't flop around too good without a wing.
Right, but the discard amount is much greater than the landings in total. So 35% of a much greater amount is still 50% of the mortality.
Right, but I mean, it would be better to be discarding thorny skates with only 35% of them dying than winging them with 100% dying. And we're still getting to where we want to go. And I just wonder if that's been explored at all.
Well, so far there's been no increase in biomass despite the prohibition on landing thorny skates for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And that's why we get stuff like this, that there's just no, we're just getting noise. There's no adaptive response to lower landings and getting higher biomass out of it.
So could that be a reflection of noise in an index-based assessment?
Absolutely.
Where they just might not be encountering thorny skates.
And thorny skates are found in Canada as well. It's probably part of the same population.
Okay. That's enough for now.
Anything else? Thank you, Andy, keeping us up to date. Paul, you had one other item.
I've got two things. I failed under the last agenda item to talk about what Gene had talked about on deeming regulations necessary and appropriate. I'd like to do that first thing at 8:30 tomorrow, is a motion about what we should do with that. And then whatever you decide to do on scallops and monkfish to deem them appropriate, then I'll turn that into a policy to bring back next time. But I'd like to do that at 8:30. And the second thing, I'd like you all to wish the chairman a happy birthday. He's 50 today, so we'll give him a happy birthday.
Okay, so... back here at 8:30 tomorrow morning.